May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Reading through Matthew, and it just jumped off the page. If you look in the margin, it'll say, because it says, and he will save his people from their sins, but it literally is, and he himself will save his people from their sins. As if the Holy Spirit's trying to emphasize again that Christianity is not a formula. Now, I know that there are organized thoughts that we form to try to explain things about Christianity, how Christianity works, but it's not a formula. Christianity is a person. It starts with and continues and ends with a person. It says in Ephesians, in the end, everything's going to be summed up in a person, Jesus. The Christian life is Jesus. And when it says that he himself saves us from our sins, will save his people from their sins, he's not just talking about what he did at the cross to save us from sin's penalty, to save us from the condemnation of sin, so that we can be forgiven. That's only part of what he came to do. He came to save us not just from sin's penalty, thank God, but the moment you become a Christian, that's settled. What about the rest of your Christian life until you go to heaven? He came to save us from sin's power to dominate us. Again, says in Romans chapter 5, as many times I've quoted this verse, for whatever reason, I can never quite memorize it. So I better read it to you. Romans 5 says in verse 10, for if while we're enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, that's being saved from sin's penalty, much more, having been reconciled, all right, you're Christian, you shall be saved in his life, or by his life. That's the saving life of Christ. Not just the saving death of Christ, but it's the saving life of Christ that changes the way we live our lives every single day. Jude, verse 24, says, and now he who is able to keep us from falling. He who is able to keep us from falling. The ability to not sin is in a person. Victory is about a person. Again, it's not a formula. It's not a confession. It's not about how many scriptures that you memorize or how often you go to church or how long you pray. It's about just as you appropriated a person's finished work on the cross to get saved from sin's penalty, it's appropriating the continual work of Christ in his resurrection to be saved from sin's power. That's why I love this verse in Ephesians. Of the devotional I wrote this morning is from this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. This is the prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in your experience of him. That the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you would know what's the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's a great prayer. The eyes of our hearts would understand that you and I would know the hope of his calling. That Jesus Christ, once again, incarnationally through your borrowed humanity, could actually live out his life. That's the Christian life. Again, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. For I've died, and my life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, in Christ, who is my life. Paul says in Philippians 1, for me to live is Christ. Not that we're adequate of ourselves, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, to think anything is coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. That's at the heart of the gospel. The good news didn't end the moment you prayed the prayer. The good news continues every day because you have the saving life of Christ that you get to experience every day on top of the fact you've experienced the saving death of Christ. You see, that's why when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die on the cross and go to heaven only. In his resurrection, he also came to live inside of you and me by the Holy Spirit. so that we could know the hope of his calling today and experience all the inheritance that's mine in him. That's for me now. But hear what he says. That you would know the riches, the glory of his inheritance. And this is, he explains what it is. This is the inheritance. What is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe, that are in according with the working of his might. And he goes on to say, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's powerful. Let me give you a couple little grammar lessons because it just makes it so cool. The word surpassing here is a word, comes from two words. It means to throw past or to throw beyond or to go way beyond. And the word greatness here, surpassing greatness, is the word mega, that we get mega. And of course, you know, the word power simply means supernatural ability. His supernatural ability. So he says, God's supernatural ability is so mega, it goes way beyond anything you'll ever face. Any temptation that rises up in you, any trial that's bigger than you are, his supernatural ability is mega, way beyond anything. It surpasses anything the enemy throws at you or in you, circumstance or situation. He says, this is your inheritance so that you can fulfill the hope of his calling. Christ in you, it says, the hope of glory. That you can walk in glory, manifest the likeness of Christ. Jesus said, even as the Father sent me, so send I you. And just as he in his humanity filled with the Holy Spirit, allowed the Father to live through him, manifesting the likeness of the Father, you and I share the same calling that by the Holy Spirit's presence in us, we get to manifest the likeness of Christ, who continues to reveal the truth about our Father in heaven. But that can only be done if the mega, way beyond power, ability of Jesus is operative in us. Because the Christian life is absolutely and utterly, no matter how sincere you are, impossible to live. You can get zapped 1,000 times at every Bethel mega conference, global, bounce across the floor until you can't see clearly. That's not going to get you there. It may release something in you, but if you don't know how to appropriate the mega, way beyond supernatural ability of Jesus, on a moment by moment, temptation by temptation, situation by situation, circumstance, you'll never experience your inheritance and fulfill the hope of his calling. And no matter what you think your future, no matter what dreams you've dreamed, maybe some of your dreams have been dashed. Maybe some of the thoughts that you had about your future has been dashed. But let me just say this to you. The hope of his calling is far more adventurous, far more exciting, far more dynamic, far more extraordinary than anything you've ever thought or imagined. I'm 64 years old, and I'm more excited about my future than I've ever been in my entire life. Because I want to experience the hope of his calling. That's my inheritance. But how do you do that? Go grunt it out, do the best you can, squeeze it all out, try you can, pray more, fast more, read more, go to church more, worship more, get zapped more. No, you have, now hear these words, then I'll finish. That you would know the surpassing greatness of his power towards us. The word there, toward, is literally the word into. Us who are believing. You see, the mega, way beyond, supernatural ability of Jesus is in you now. He says, but it's experienced by those who are believing. Not for those who are pleading, but those who are believing. We'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow, but let me just leave you this in case you're like going, what do you mean? I mean by this. Believing is not hoping. Believing is knowing. Faith is substance. You can hope all day long, but until you get to faith, you don't ever have the substance of things you've been hoping for. Once you have faith, you don't have to have hope anymore. And faith is knowing. Substance is knowing. I know this is wood. I know that's Bill. I know. It's knowing. Faith is knowing. Believing that in not for victory, but believing that his supernatural, mega, way beyond ability for victory is operative in you right now, and you just know it. You celebrate it. You thank him for it. You don't ask him for it. It's happening in you. It's bigger than you, and it's bigger than anything you're facing. What would be tragic if that inheritance of his supernatural, way beyond mega ability, it's alive in you, is never operative. It's like having $1 trillion in a bank and you never write a check. We write checks by faith. That in every temptation, every circumstance, in every situation, moment by moment, realizing what's been deposited in me so that I can fulfill the hope of his calling, that my inheritance is his supernatural, way beyond mega ability. I just thank him for it. I don't like to have evidence based on the Word of God and the Word of God alone. I just start thanking him for it, decreeing it, declaring it, celebrating it, so that I can realize it. That's the simplicity of it all. He himself saving us from our sins. But it's always been by faith, hasn't it? It started that way. It's all him. It started by faith in him, and it's lived day by day by faith in him. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.